It's the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for this Tuesday morning, the 17th of September, 2024. And on today's HAT podcast, we're talking about preserving Indiana's farm history by preserving Indiana's wooden barns. CJ Miller has that story on the way. And we're also talking about staying safe on the farm this National Farm Safety and Health Week. Ryan Martin has his short and sweet and dry Indiana farm forecast on the way. And we have market analysis with John Zanker at Risk Management Commodities. Small losses for corn and soybean futures to start the week, and maybe we should be happy about that. John explains coming up. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Learn more by stopping into your local branch and talking about your ag operation today, or just visit ffbt.com. The news is next here on HAT.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Preserving Indiana's historic barns and staying safe on the farm. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Indiana has around 20,000 historic wooden barns scattered around the state, but many of them are quickly falling into disrepair. CJ Miller reports now on the efforts to preserve many of these barns as Indiana's cultural landmarks.
Let's give these old barns a chance because they tell us a lot about our agricultural history. In a lot of cases, they tell us a lot about our family and community history, too.
And that's Kent Yeager, president of the Indiana Barn Foundation. Last weekend, the organization hosted an historic barn tour in Shelby County that featured one unique barn built near Waldron in 1910.
This barn has 12 sides, which I believe in Indiana there were fewer than 20 of these that ever existed. So we wanted to highlight it for the historic value of it. I hope they can find a way to use it, but it's got significant historic value, I think, to the state, to agriculture, and that's what a lot of this work is about with these old barns.
One effort that's been made to keep more of these barns around is that significant property tax deductions are available for barns built before 1950.
We didn't want people to have a reason to say, I'm going to let that barn go or I'm going to tear it down so I don't have to pay property taxes on it. So at least we eliminated that reason, or people can eliminate that by being able to take advantage of not paying taxes on it. It's a small thing in the context of the value of a lot of these barns, but it is important and hopefully people will take advantage of it.
Yeager says the ultimate goal is to restore many of these barns and repurpose them, many of which have already been turned into wedding venues, wineries, retail shops, and restaurants.
One of the things that happened, of course, is that machinery outsized a lot of these barns, and even people with livestock became very specialized, and we lost the purpose that some of these were originally built for. So the more people can do to find another purpose, that is the best thing to maintain them.
Learn more about the Indiana Barn Foundation at indianabarns.org. I'm CJ Miller.
As harvest really gets rolling, it's only fitting that this week is National Farm Safety and Health Week. This year's theme, Don't Learn Safety by Accident. Dan Neenan of the National Education Center for Agricultural Safety notes the word accident, though, is a bit of a misnomer.
Because accident, on most people's mind, means that there's nothing that could have been done to prevent it. So we're trying to get the words across of preventable incident.
Neenan explains the daily themes for National Farm Safety and Health Week.
Monday is equipment and rural roadway safety. Tuesday is health and wellness. Wednesday is generations, talking from kids to grandparents farming. Thursday is confined spaces, grain bins, manure pits. And Friday is actually reporting ag injuries.
Speaking of confined spaces, Purdue just recently released their annual report of U.S. agricultural confined space-related injuries and fatalities. It showed no fewer than 55 cases in 2023 across the U.S., including 29 fatal and 26 non-fatal cases. Neenan says they'll partner with the AgriSafe Network on a series of safety webinars this week with two per day. You can find the link to register for those at HoosierAgToday.com. The latest recorded annual numbers for farm fatalities, 417 in 2022, is the motivation for Neenan and others in the farm safety space.
I first started doing this in the year 2000, and we were averaging 730 fatalities per year. So getting down to 417 is a good stride, but we're never going to get down to zero during my working lifetime.
More information is available online. Head to our website or mobile app for a link to their website. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
More dry weather in the forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We do have an ever so slight chance of moisture trying to sneak in to southeast and maybe east central Indiana. If it happens, it's going to happen overnight tonight into tomorrow. Here's what's going on. There is some tropical moisture trying to come through the Carolinas. And models have been waffling back and forth as to whether or not it can cross the Appalachians and get into Ohio and maybe a little bit of northern Kentucky and eastern Indiana. We're back to seeing that as a bigger possibility now. I don't buy into it being much of a threat, but hey, if it can get some moisture in here, I'm all for it. So we'll watch it closely here this afternoon. If that moisture does not show up, we are dry in entirety over Indiana for the next 10 days to 2 weeks. Even if that moisture does make it into southeastern parts of the state, the rest of us are not seeing anything but warm and humid weather for the rest of this week and next. I'm Ryan Martin.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Small losses for corn and soybean futures to start the week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Monday Farm Market Review. I'll have final numbers from Monday trade coming in just a few moments, but first let's get market analysis with John Zanker at Risk Management Commodities. John, not a whole lot of news on Monday for the grain markets, and that's why for corn and soybeans, we just didn't see a whole lot of movement. But maybe that's a good thing here to start the week. What say you?
Not a lot of new news, for sure. We've got this little battle going on now. If you're a bull, you're pointing towards the quite a major problem developing in Brazil, Mato Grosso in particular, where they'd like to start planting soybeans here soon, and it's just not dry down there. It's bone dry, and it's hot. So unlike here in the Corn Belt with our good black soils, they're just not going to go in and try to stick beans in the ground and until they get some moisture in there. So, and we've got some, you know, we've got some drought problems still affecting the Black Sea region. So not insignificant stuff. Now, that we can plant soybeans late, or they can plant soybeans late in Mato Grosso and still have a full crop because they have a year-round growing season. So the major issue there is you plant the beans late, you get that second crop corn in late, and that is a major problem because you can just about set your clock to that hot, dry season starting usually just after pollination in Mato Grosso. So that's the bullish thing. And of course, the bearish thing is we've got a really big harvest that's just really starting to catch some fire here.
That's the thing here, John. Here across the Corn Belt, you know, harvest is now in full swing, I think. I mean, we'll find out how much progress last week. As we sit here and talk at about 2:30, we'll get progress numbers here in just a little while from USDA. But man, this forecast that we have in front of us, we could make a lot of progress here very quickly across the Corn Belt.
We're going to see some rains this week out west, more in the far western Corn Belt. But, yeah, east of the Mississippi, we're going to be going full bore, and we're not going to stop here for probably 2 weeks or more. So there's some positives to that, obviously, but there's certainly some negatives. We're, you know, the early beans, how often do you get into your first field of beans and it's 9.5% moisture? So that's robbing a little bit of yield. Bean yields are, you know, pretty good, not off the charts sensational, but I can certainly talk about these corn yields, Eric. They're pretty spectacular, and I think that's something we need to keep a really close eye on as we move to our next crop production report in October.
What are you hearing from those harvest reports? Because, I mean, that's kind of the battle right now. We're going to be watching these harvest reports. We're going to be watching South American weather. I mean, what are you telling customers at this point about what they should be doing from a marketing standpoint? It's kind of tough right now to figure this out while still doing harvest.
Well, I've been pushing the narrative that we need to be 100%. We need a floor set on 100% of our production. And I started that several weeks ago. Now, when I really started pushing that, I thought that we had the potential for a corn crop to get into the upper 180s, maybe even 190. Bean crop, Pro Farm at 54.9, which was unusual for them to come in above the USDA, but they based that on the pods. So if we'd had good rains in the second half of August into the first week of September, I thought we were going to be all over a 55 bushel or better bean yield. Now I'm not quite as confident of that happening. Corn, however, with the deeper root system, we're seeing some really good corn yields coming off some of our drier soils. So I think we have a crop that's going to grow for corn, maybe substantially. Beans, not quite as confident of that. I think the current yield of 53.2, wouldn't be shocked if that's the high for the year. Wouldn't be shocked if it climbs a little bit higher.
From an export sales standpoint, we've been talking all along about demand being an issue. What are we seeing there? Are we seeing a little bit more from an export standpoint? I know we saw a little bit in the way of soybeans today. Are we getting a little bit better here from a demand standpoint?
Corn's been outstanding. Even export sales and shipments better than what we anticipated. They fell off this past week, which, you know, we're going to get into a time frame where it's going to be difficult to keep those numbers up for a while at least. I'm happy with the way we finished up the old crop corn sales on the books. A little light of what we would like to see, but nothing overly alarming there. Domestic consumption is exceptional. Beans, on the other hand, we had a surprisingly weak NOPA report today, well below the lowest trade guess. Export shipments, Eric, at a 16-year low, which is highly alarming. And the USDA has us increasing exports this year by 150 million bushels. We're currently already 150 million bushels behind where we should be at this time of the year. So if the weather starts improving in northern Brazil, we start getting that bean crop in, we're going to hear talk of 165 million ton crop, which would be up about 14 million tons from this year. So if we don't have any problems in South America during the growing season, we're not going to like the price of beans. The price of beans will have a 9 in front of it on March 1st. It's just, you know, is it going to be 9.10 or 9.90? We don't know. But I'm really, really solid in my thinking that we need to get a floor set under 100% of this year's production and start looking at some of next year's production. Corn and beans both.
That's John Zanker with Risk Management Commodities. You can reach John at 866-837-9027. Monday numbers. December corn down 2.5, 410 and 3/4. 429 and a quarter on March corn down 1 3/4. Novi beans lost 1 3/4, 10.04 and a half. Down a penny and a quarter on January beans, 10.23 and a half. And down a penny on March, 10.38. December wheat lost Friday's gains, down 16 and a quarter, 578 and a half. In livestock, December live cattle lost 15 cents, 178.35. And December lean hogs up 87 cents, 72.17. That does it for the Monday Farm Market Review and the Tuesday Morning Podcast. We thank you for joining us. We will do it again tomorrow. Same hat time, same hat channel. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.